It's time for our Tuesday morning chat with reporters from PolitiFact Virginia at the Richmond Times-Dispatch, who check out the facts on statements and comments by Virginia political figures. And we start today with reporter Sean Gorman. Sean, I want to ask you about an article you wrote about comments by Tim Kaine, the former Virginia governor and Democratic National Committee chairman, now running for the U.S. Senate in next year's election. He made this statement: Virginia ranked near the bottom of the nation 50 years ago in per capita income, but is in the top 10 today. And he said it had a very low rate of higher education attainment, but is now above the national average. So what did you find when you checked the facts?
Well, when we looked at this, we could see pretty quickly Kaine was absolutely right as far as his assessment on where Virginia stands currently. Virginia does indeed rank in the top 10 in terms of its per capita income. In fact, the Commonwealth's 2010 per capita income was the seventh highest among the 50 states, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. And Virginia's level of higher education attainment is also pretty impressive. The Census Bureau said that from 2005 to 2009, just over 33% of Virginia residents aged 25 and older had a bachelor's degree or higher. The national average, meanwhile, was 27.5%. So Kaine is also right that Virginia's level of higher education attainment exceeds the national average. But Kaine runs into problems in his assessment on where things stood 50 years ago. In 1961, Virginia ranked 34th in its level of per capita income. That's barely in the bottom third tier of the states. And one could argue that being 15 or so spots up from last place doesn't rank the state, quote unquote, near the bottom of per capita income, as Kaine said. Still, the former governor has a plausible argument for his statement. It's Kaine's comments on Virginia's higher education attainment 5 decades ago that run into the most difficulty here. Back in 1960, about 8.4% of the state's residents who were 25 or older had a bachelor's degree or higher level of education. You might say that's low, but it was still higher than the national average of 7.7% that year. And when stacked up against other states, Virginia actually had the 16th highest level of higher education attainment. So Virginia's higher education attainment wasn't very low 50 years ago, as Kaine said. If anything, it was relatively high. And bottom line is that Kaine was right on where Virginia is now, but he was off somewhat on where it stood a half century ago, so we rate his claim half true.
Okay, and the other one you wrote about this past week was a statement by Jamie Radke. She's running for the Republican nomination for the Senate, and her principal opponent is former Senator George Allen. And she made the statement that George Allen had, quote, 40,000 earmarks while he was a senator in his previous term. What did you find?
Yeah, this claim is part of an overall Radke strategy to paint Allen as a big spender. As you mentioned, Radke said in a television interview that Allen, quote, had 40,000 earmarks during his time in the Senate from 2001 to 2007. Earmarks are the line items that lawmakers insert into bills to direct federal money to their home states. That 40,000 number seemed very high to us. Allen was in the Senate for 2,193 days, so he would have had to have requested 18 earmarks a day to reach such a high number. When we spoke with the Radke campaign, they said their argument isn't that Allen requested each of those earmarks. Their position is that he voted for those earmarks by supporting larger appropriations bills containing the line items. Now, it's true, Allen voted for all the appropriations bills that came to the Senate floor during his term, but we wondered where that 40,000 number came from. The Radke campaign arrived at that tally by using numbers from the Citizens Against Government Waste, a conservative group that criticizes pork projects. That group said there were 52,319 total pork projects from fiscal years 2002 to 2006. And the Radke campaign, seeking a round number, dropped the tally to 40,000, and they link Allen to those projects by his votes for the appropriations bills. The problem here is that Radke at least several times has made statements that these earmarks actually originated with Allen. In a January interview with the National Journal, Radke said Allen had 40,000 earmarks of his own. And in a March 15th Twitter post this year, she mused about the possibility of defunding, quote, Allen's 40,000 earmarks. And when you tally up the Citizens Against Government Waste numbers on a statewide basis, you find that Virginia received just 1,135 earmarks from 2002 to 2006. And that's a fraction of what Radke is trying to link to Allen. And the implication that tens of thousands of earmarks came from Allen himself is wrong. So we rated her claim false.
All right. Let's call in Jacob Geiger now of PolitiFact Virginia. Jacob, welcome back.
Thanks.
And you have two articles I want to ask you about. First of all, 4th District Republican Congressman Randy Forbes made a comment that you checked out. He said failure to raise the debt limit does not force a U.S. default on debt payments. True or false?
Well, Monday morning, it became official. The United States is at the $14.294 trillion debt ceiling. Now, if we want to talk about an immediate default, Forbes is right. As Tim Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, has told Congress, he can move some money around in various accounts, pull it temporarily out of the pension fund for federal workers, things like that, delay contributions, and stave off default until August 2nd. But let's say there's still a deadlock in August and we haven't raised the debt ceiling. Is Forbes right then? At that point, Congress can choose to keep paying the interest payments. It still would get enough in tax money to do that. However, that's going to mean making major, major cuts in other spending programs. It would mean cutting about $738 billion in spending over the last 4 months of the fiscal year, which ends at the conclusion of September. So that would mean doing something like taking out 70% of the payments for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, or you could eliminate all of the Defense Department and other agency spending for the rest of 2011. That would get you the money you need. So Forbes is right. It doesn't mean an automatic default, but as you can see, there are such serious consequences. You'd have to choose not to fund the military or choose not to pay Social Security to avoid default. We rate this true, but we do want to point out that obviously there are pretty dire consequences if they can't reach some sort of agreement up in Washington to either raise the ceiling or change spending priorities.
So you rated that as?
True.
All right. You also wrote about a statement by Democratic Virginia Congressman Jim Moran from Northern Virginia. He said American oil production is at its highest level since 2003. What did you find?
We went to the Energy Information Administration, which is a part of the Department of Energy. They're the big clearinghouse for all U.S. and global data on oil production and consumption. According to that data, the U.S. produced about 5.5 million barrels per day in 2010, which was just up about 100,000 barrels from 2009. Moran's right. That is the highest number since 2003, when production was 5.7 million barrels a day. But it's interesting to note that production for the past decade has been below that 6 million barrels a day mark compared to the 1970s, when we were producing somewhere between 8 and 9 million barrels a day, depending on the year. And even through the 80s, it was above 8 million barrels a day. So it's fallen a long way in the last 30 years. Now, this claim was checked earlier by PolitiFact National, and they found at the time the EIA was projecting a decline for 2011. We went and rechecked the numbers, and the latest updates say that 2011 is going to be just about flat, with maybe production falling by 10 or 20,000 barrels per day this year compared to last year. There's also supposed to be a small decline in 2012 because oil fields in Alaska and the Gulf of Mexico are maturing, so their production is starting to fall and not growing anymore. We rate this true. Oil production is at the highest level since 2003. But we would note it's not going any higher based on the current projections, and it should start to fall in the next few years.
Okay, thanks to Sean Gorman and Jacob Geiger. We're pleased to be the radio partners in the Richmond area with the Richmond Times-Dispatch for PolitiFact Virginia reports each Tuesday morning here at this time on Morning Edition.
Thanks for having us, Wayne.